Hey friends, welcome to Unpolished But Called. I'm going to, for the next couple of months, be doing something a little bit differently. I'm only going to be recording probably about three episodes a week. Going into a busy season with my work. I work in retail, so you know how that goes. This is going into like Black Friday, Christmas season, so I'll probably be doing Monday, Wednesday, Friday releases. For the next few months, I'm hoping maybe to increase it come January, but we'll see kind of how it goes. We'll play it by ear. But I will not leave you in the lurch. So going forward, that is what you will be receiving. Still the same sarcasm and humor with a side of fries. So for now, today's episode is a little bit more personal. I'm kind of on this road of sharing, hopefully not oversharing. I started on Friday, and I'm kind of, I guess this is where God's leading me. So we're just going to go with it. So we're talking about faith from a perspective of someone who didn't grow up knowing all the answers, someone who showed up late to church life wearing sweatpants, and a healthy amount of skepticism. And that someone is me. And I want to speak to the heart that keeps wondering if God really wants anything to do with you. The part of you that's afraid to trust again. The parts that still feel bruised from religion or weighed down by the past. Maybe you've stepped into a church and felt like everyone else got the manual, and you're still trying to figure out what page you missed. You're not alone. I get it. This is a story for the ones who think they're too far gone, or too flawed, or too old to start over. A story for anyone hanging on by a thread called maybe. So, take a deep breath, get comfy, and let's walk this together. I wish someone would have grabbed my shoulders years ago and walked and told me that God isn't collecting perfect people. Churches sometimes look like they are filled with polished saints. But underneath the church clothes and memorized verses are humans with doubts, hidden scars, and spiritual splinters that still hurt when pressed. Meanwhile, so many of us stand at the edge of faith, convinced we're the exception to God's love. Stepping forward and towards Jesus felt risky for me, not because I didn't want hope, but because hope felt dangerous. When you spent a lifetime expecting rejection, even kindness looks suspicious. I wasn't certain I could trust God after too many disappointments with people. Guilt loved to remind me of every wrong turn I ever made, and fear whispered that if I let the Lord close enough to see the real me, he would back away. That's the lie that keeps so many hearts locked away. We convince ourselves that God prefers the ones who already know when to stand, when to sit, and how to flip to the right page in the Bible without fumbling like it's a Rubik's Cube. But Jesus didn't walk straight into cathedrals and start handing out gold stars to the spiritually competent. He went and looked for the overlooked, sat beside the excluded, called the unqualified. Love the ones who couldn't imagine they were lovable. That's the truth. That truth didn't hit me overnight. Faith crept in like a small light under the door. I kept pretending I didn't see it, yet it still glowed steady, even when I pushed God away, which I did a lot. Something in me wondered if he kept waiting for me to turn around. I rolled my eyes at grace while secretly hoping grace was real. Eventually, though, God used the most ordinary parts of my life to turn me back towards him. A friendship my son made, a meal I got dragged into a church kitchen while wearing sweatpants and a defensive attitude, a room full of strangers who didn't stare at my flaws but smiled like I was welcome, even though I was positive I wasn't. And I kept waiting for that confirmation. Tiny cracks formed in the walls around my heart, and light slipped through. Not in a dramatic thunder and angel choir kind of way, more like discovering peace in places I was convinced I'd only ever feel shame. Slowly, the fear that kept me braced for rejection started losing strength. Something inside whispered, maybe you don't have to hide anymore. Another voice answered, what if you just gave Jesus a chance? Something changed during those early Sundays, not in a dramatic way, but like discovering that peace can surprise you in the very places you expected pain. I walked through those doors prepared for judgment, and instead I encountered grace in human form. People held the door open instead of closing it in my face. Smiles came without conditions. No one cared about my wrinkled clothes or my messy history. They cared that I just showed up. Questions still filled my mind. What if this warmth was temporary? What is if they were just nice because I was new? What if they discovered my messy past? What if loving Jesus required a spiritual resume that I didn't have? The old fear tried its best to keep me guarded, yet curiosity kept winning. Whatever these people had, I realized I wanted to understand it. The truth kept nudging me, not loudly, more like a hand on your shoulder that doesn't force you forward, but refuses to let you walk away. It was just steadily holding me in place. God wasn't demanding perfection, He was offering presence. And that is the one thing I had always needed without having words for it. Every sermon unlocked more of what my heart already suspected. Somewhere beneath the layers of hurt and hesitation, I still believed there had to be something more than survival, something deeper than just existing, something more honest than pretending everything is fine. And Jesus met me in that exact place. He didn't require performance. He didn't hold a clipboard. He didn't ask me to qualify. The Savior of the world simply wanted me to breathe in the truth that I mattered to him. And that realization softened something I thought was permanently hardened. Walls I'd built from disappointment started cracking, and hope used those cracks like a doorway. And those early Sundays felt like sitting in a room that was slightly too bright. Hope was shining into corners I wasn't ready to look at yet. Every time the pastor opened scripture, it felt like someone turned on another light bulb, which is wonderful unless you are still trying to hide the dust bunnies of your past under the sofa of denial. But I didn't run, not this time. Something kept pulling me back. Honestly, though, it felt a little like stepping into a gym for the first time. You trip over your own feet, act like you meant to do that, then pretend you know where the water fountain is. Spiritually, I was Bambi learning to walk on ice. Adorable in theory, but absolutely not graceful. There were moments when the worship music started and my soul felt like I'd forgot how to stand still. But there were also moments when I stared at the lyrics thinking, I have absolutely no idea what we are singing about right now, but everyone else looks confident. So, okay. Jesus, take the wheel. If enthusiasm counted as talent, I was practically the choir director. And then the zinger, scripture reading time. That Bible might as well have been a puzzle with the picture missing from the box. Everyone else seemed to know exactly where Philippians or Obadiah lived. Meanwhile, I was flipping through pages like I lost my phone in there. At first, embarrassment tried to shame me back into silence, but the more I returned, the less it mattered. God wasn't keeping score on my verse finding speed. He was celebrating the simple fact that I showed up. That is something I wish more people understood. Showing up counts in the kingdom of God. It counts when your faith feels thin, It counts when you walk through the door whispering, "Don't let anyone talk to me today." It counts when you are convinced your past is louder than your praise. God loves a step, any step, even slow ones, tiny ones, sideways ones, just a step. And I started to notice peace showing up in places panic used to live. Loud thoughts that once shouted, "Run," now only cleared their throat. Even scripture began untangling lies I didn't know I was living in. I discovered that God isn't waiting for the polished product. He is deeply invested in the messy process. And that alone should earn him a medal because the process in me was, and sometimes still is, chaotic at best. There were Sundays I walked in ready to jump fully into faith, and others where I dragged my heart through the door like a tired toddler in a supermarket. That is the thing about spiritual growth. It rarely looks cinematic. There's no slow motion montage with inspirational music. There's only real life and a very, very real God meeting us there. So one Wednesday service, something new happened. I didn't brace myself anymore. Relaxed shoulders, breath that wasn't tight, hope wasn't scary that night. It felt possible. Like I could belong. Like God didn't just tolerate me, he actually welcomed me. And then came the Genesis sermon. Creation, the beginning of everything, including me. The pastor spoke, and I was like, God grabbed my attention with a spiritual megaphone. A revelation smacked me in the forehead so hard, I swear, angels paused and said, "Finally, she got it. God is real. God is creator. God didn't make a mistake when he made me." Whoa, what a revelation. Confession, I thought it was a mistake my entire life. But that's a podcast for another day, or maybe a future book. I don't know. But that was my entire existence was I thought I was a mistake. So that truth dismantled years of lies faster than a toddler dismantles a clean living room. I realized the one who shaped galaxies also shaped my heart with intention. Suddenly, doubt wasn't a cage anymore. It was just a shadow, and light was flooding in. In that moment was my yes. And June 2024, the day I stopped running from Jesus and started walking with him. And I'm gonna try not to cry through the rest of this podcast. Being saved didn't instantly grant me a halo or a front row parking spot on Sunday mornings. It didn't erase my past. Absolutely not. It didn't fix every flaw. But it did something far more life-changing. I stopped believing my worth was negotiable. Jesus calls me his, and that's enough. That's it. This journey, the one you and I are both stumbling our way through, it is messy. And God loves us right through the mess. He works with whatever we bring him, even if that whatever is a heart held together with tape and a prayer that starts with, "Lord, I don't know what I'm doing." He knows. That's why he's here. Healing began the moment I stopped trying to be impressive and started letting him be present. Church hurt stopped feeling like a verdict when I realized people had wounded me, not God. Grace started growing when I learned Jesus doesn't pick favorites. He pursues the forgotten ones, the overlooked, the underestimated. That includes late bloomers like me, skeptics tired of acting unbothered, the ones who want to believe but feel like beginners, anyone who's whispered, "Jesus, please don't give up on me." And he won't. Life didn't instantly transform after choosing Christ. ordinary days continue to unfold with their usual mix of joy and difficulty. Circumstances didn't shift overnight, but something inside me had. The fear of being alone with my thoughts started to lose its grip. A quiet steadiness entered the room and stayed, offered me peace where panic once lived. Spiritual growth didn't look glamorous. There wasn't a soundtrack or a spotlight, just a simple awareness that hope existed in places it never had before. The idea that God might love without requiring perfection slowly became believable. Every deep breath felt like relief I didn't know my heart needed. Grace does incredible work. It changes the air around you. It softens the voice that once scolded every mistake. And it gives permission to try again without bracing for disappointment. One of the biggest surprises, I think, was when I realized God celebrates progress. Others might never notice. But heaven rejoices when a person who used to avoid church walks through the door anyways. Angels celebrate even the smallest step towards faith. Quiet courage counts in the kingdom. Prayer becomes less formal and more like conversation. Worship turned into a place where my soul could unclench its fist. Sitting with scripture started to feel like sitting with someone who genuinely cared about what hurt and what healed. The weight of earning love lifted away, bring my heart to believe that I wasn't a burden to God. Everything shifted when I stopped trying to deserve love and started trusting that He already offered it. Faith isn't a reward for good behavior. It's a gift from God who knew He couldn't carry the world on our own. Jesus stepped into my story right where I needed Him most, not when I had finally perfected it. And anyone who wonders if God wants them can take comfort in this. Christ died for us when we were at our worst. He didn't wait for cleanup for our clean hearts or polished reputation. His arms stretched wide to welcome those standing on the edge of belief with trembling hope. This truth keeps lighting the path forward. The Savior who conquered death can handle every part of life that feels too heavy to name. Regret doesn't intimidate him, shame doesn't surprise him, and confusion doesn't disqualify anyone from his grace. Choosing Jesus isn't about having everything figured out. It's a small decision to let love lead, even when fear screams the loudest. A small yes holds incredible power. A whispered prayer counts. A shaky first step still moves you closer to freedom. Faith doesn't remove hardship, it replaces isolation with divine companionship. And God walks into the valleys we'd rather avoid and refuses to leave us there alone. He takes the weight we've carried and turns it into a testimony we never imagined sharing. No one. Now hear me, friends. No one is too late in the story for salvation to rewrite the ending. Redemption can meet a person at any age, any day, in any condition of belief. Hope has no expiration date. The world may say, earn love, but Jesus says it's already yours. And your mind may insist you need to fix everything, but mercy answers, let me heal you. Your past may shout, you're disqualified, but grace counters it, chosen. This invitation isn't forced. It's extended gently, like a hand reaching out in the dark. If something inside is stirring, a flutter of curiosity or a flicker of longing, Recognize it for what it is. The Holy Spirit draws hearts in ways we sometimes struggle to explain, but the pull is real. Belief often begins as a barely there whisper. If you're real, help me. That's enough for God to work with. There's room for every doubt-filled heart to rest in Christ. There's space for questions, confusion, and slow growth. God isn't looking for perfect performers. He is gathering sons and daughters who finally understand they were wanted all along. So take one step. That's the entire assignment for today. Place even the smallest amount of trust into the hands of a Savior who won't drop it. Let him carry what has been breaking you. Let him show you a life that feels safe enough to hope again. Grace waits with patience, love stands ready, and Jesus remains near. Your story isn't over. The next chapter can begin right here. So thank you for spending this time with me. It takes courage to lean into hope when fear has been calling the shots for so long. And if you stayed all the way to the end, that speaks to something God is already stirring in you. No matter where you are in your faith journey, remember this. Jesus isn't waiting for perfection. He isn't asking you to pretend. He welcomes the unqualified, the unsure, the unpolished. All of us who show up carrying more questions than answers. You are not behind. You are not too late. You are loved right now as you are, exactly in this moment. If your heart is whispering yes, don't ignore it. Reach out. Pray a simple prayer. Talk to someone you trust. Walk into a church with your guard halfway down. God has a way of meeting us in motion. We'll keep learning, keep laughing, and keep growing together. Until next time, remember, you don't need to have it all figured out to be fully found by Jesus.